Good morning and Merry Christmas. Good morning and Merry Christmas to all the people out there wandering life's great highway. Good morning to the people that are currently battling all the various tribes in near space at 20 miles in giant near space ion drive powered dirigibles. Good morning, it is Christmas Day, 2020. That's also known as December the 25th. And in some of the ancient books of the ancient peoples that used to live in the cracks of the earth, it is known as the 14th of Blimp. According to the Kroglamite people, today's day was known as Hortak. And the ancient busty nuns of the western coast tribes of Frumulac called it the Day of Cozy Oils. The Day of Cozy Oils. I am simply drinking the nectar of the earth. It is what comes from the earth now through the process pathways of a liquid horizon of microwave madness. I'm way behind on podcasts. I got into a pretty dark place a few days ago. I'm not proud of it. I don't even know if I should have talked about it on my podcast because I know it's cringy. Cringy talking about shit. Why can't you talk about that new technology you saw at the Electronic Depot Mart? Well, because it shut down. The mart shut down, buddy. Why can't you talk about the flowers of... No, those flowers are dead. Why can't you talk to me... No, the bird you're thinking of was shot down by a drone, you fuck. But Dan, why can't you talk about the soft lands of the ancient green byways where people would slowly coast down rivers of silken green loveliness? And everyone had a cottage, and every cottage was cozy. Every cottage had a kettle corn popcorn maker. The closest you're gonna get with this old hobo to the magical land of Krungliak and orcs and hobbits and bugbears and other types of trolley problem, Gedanken, Dungeons and Dragons bullshit. Yeah, the closest you're going to get to that crap is taking a trip with me through the land of Little Saigon. Yeah, welcome. I heard a pitter-patter on the roof last night. If you don't know this, there used to be a homeless shelter right next to my building. But it's been torn down to turn it into something for the, you know, bankers. But there were rats that lived there too. Probably hundreds of rats in a giant sort of rat kingdom. And as I was talking to my friend Jim, you know, I think it was yesterday. It could have been the day before. One day bleeds into the next in this COVID bullshit nightmare. But I was talking to my friend Jim, and you probably know him from various podcasts. And if you're out there listening, Jim, God bless you. I hope you're okay today. And by the way, if you can send him your prayers, you know, he is Jim Davidson. He is Jim at resilientways.net. He's also at Planetary Jim. Spell that correctly. There's an A in there, at least two. Okay, there's at least two A's in that. That's his Twitter handle. So I just want you to know he's out there. If you can say a prayer for my friend Jim, all jokes aside, I know I sound like a fuck, but if you can say a prayer for my friend Jim, please do. If you can reach out to him and help him in other ways, that's between you and Jim. What you guys do in the darkness of the night is your dirty little secret. Your fairy time fairy tale. You can be whatever you want to be at that rest stop. Okay, just joking. Yeah, I'm way behind on podcasts, and it's Christmas Day, so I've decided to get caught up, which is something I attempted to do a few months ago when this happened. But I didn't really succeed, because the problem is, I start talking about shit. I'm drinking the nectar of the future, and the future is interrupting the past. That's the nature of time paradoxes, if you don't know. You gotta watch out for that. Also, you have to understand that the moment is a window, and that window has a variable shape and diameter. Sometimes that window is a narrow little slit through which you can fire an arrow. Sometimes that window is huge because there's so much chaos, so much noise in the system, that it forces the aperture wide, kind of like that, you know, impacted bowel movement. Yeah, sometimes the now, the moment, is narrow, and it seems like a second is a second and an hour is an hour. But I propose that that is really a relative thing. In fact, that might be the key to relativity, and in all probability, the key to reconciling the paradoxes of quantum mechanics with relativity. And I would also furthermore say that if I wasn't too drunk or too bored or too stupid or too angry or too old or too burnt out or too crazy to even whatever, I could write some paper and maybe demonstrate it, but it doesn't matter because no one would read the paper and it would never get published and I'm a shitbird. But here's the thing. Paradoxes, like Schrodinger's cat, are based upon this notion that you can have a state, a specific state within the universe, where multiple potentially contradictory things can be said, which is to say, a cat is alive or dead because you can't observe it, you don't know if the radioactive material released that one alpha particle that will cause the poisonous gas to be released, which is a really fuck thing to do. And if you really imagine, and by the way, I know I've talked about Schrodinger a few times, there's a reason for this, because it is kind of a brilliant thought experiment, but it might have almost nothing to do with physics. Oh, sorry. I am kidding a little, but it is about observation. It is about the way in which we participate in a lot of things that we like to classify as scientific and isolated and perfected, when in reality, science is a tool. It's not a perfect tool. And, you know, the stuff that applies to, like, tools and carpentry also applies to science. You know, measure twice, cut once. That's good advice. These days, the science that's getting practiced is the cut twice, measure once, which is the crooked science of things like COVID. I don't want to talk about that. But imagine for the moment the reason why Schrodinger's cat could be either alive or dead is not because there's a multiverse, not because there are actual contradictions in any real sense, but because the nature of the now, the moment, is that it is by definition unsettled. There is no resolution. You know, in this notion of superposition, the idea that a cat can be alive or dead in simultaneous contradictory states, this idea really does work within a world in which the now is just not a finite point. And this is what's really important. One of the critical philosophical impacts of relativity theory was to push the empirical view of the world beyond Newton. But how fucking Newtonian is it to talk in terms of time, like you can measure it in terms of finite slice? In fact, Experiments that were performed with Einstein's own theories prove that you can't do that. Time doesn't work like that. It's not, there isn't some magical, you know, measure in the universe that says 1 second. What if there are times, and it really is about the physics, not about culture or anthropology, but what if, given the nature of a human being, and I believe in God, so God gave us free will, what if there are times in history where there are so many people making so many choices that history itself becomes a big mess? And so moments like a second, an hour, a day, maybe a day is like a month or a year. Maybe a year is like a century. It sounds weird, it sounds impossible, and I'm not going to spend all day on this because it's just too fucking serious for 2020, right? But, you know, if time travel were possible, this is what I would propose. The only way in which you could do it would probably be within the scope of what we would call the window of the now, the moment you're in. How big is that window? Is a second a second? Or is a second more like a day or a year? If all of a sudden the now becomes a rather messy, gooey thing going into the future and into the past, then all of a sudden you can make all sorts of interesting changes. Now, just so we know, travel into the future is not a controversial subject. You're doing it all the time, and so that itself does not pose any contradictions. It really is going into the past where people run into problems, like the grandfather paradox. Oh, well, Dan, what if you went back to 19-aught blimp doc and murdered your grandfather? Well, guess what? I just found out I had a magic grandpa. Yeah. So I'd have to kill two men. I'd have to kill two men to survive that scenario. To transcend and go beyond the limitations of my own fractured brain. To pierce through the layers of scrumulac beyond the line that separates your own misgivings from the misshapen things of the past and the future. But what if? What if? What if time is flexible enough that the now becomes big? Because in my view, the past is really sort of, I wouldn't call it deterministic, but it happened the way it did. You can't change it. And it is a lot like concrete settling and forming. You know, at first, the concrete is still wet, the concrete is still drying, the concrete is still very hot, because it is a chemical process, if you don't know that about concrete. And so it's possible that the amount of gooey concrete in terms of time can be bigger than we realize. For example, what if I said there are times in history that are such a fucking mess that you could theoretically go back 100 years? Mm-hmm. There is my non-contradictory proposal, because the concrete, you know, plus or minus 100 years is so unsettled. The future's always unsettled. Minus 100, it's still gooey. You could still stick, if you lost, let's say you lost your glasses in the concrete as it's forming. Let's use that analogy and then drift away from time travel for a moment. You lost your glasses, but the concrete is still forming. As long as it hasn't formed around your glasses yet, you can stick your hands into that fucking concrete, grab your nasty-ass gloggy glasses, maybe wash them off with some type of chemical that's going to turn your little, you know, it's going to kill your semen. But you don't care. In fact, you think that is a fringe benefit. Because you hang out at Joe's down by the fucking railway station. And we all know what happens there. We all know what happens at Joe's. Don't go there without a knife. Anyways, I'm going to stop that right there. So, I wish I had the energy to pursue this idea, because I think it's a solid proposal. I don't know how I don't know how you would prove it. The only way you could theoretically prove it would be to show that you can do things within the scope of the now in the past, which means you could make changes or even just go there. But the other thing is this: I think throughout most of history, or throughout most of the life in the universe, and throughout the history of the universe itself, arguably the system is so simple that the concrete settles fast, folks. There are places in the universe that are so fucking boring, and this is gonna sound counterintuitive. There are places in the universe that are probably so fucking boring that in that figurative concrete settling, forming, drying, and hardening sense, the hardening process happens fucking fast, man. Like, if you lived, relative to today, if you lived in the Old West, causality problems settled fucking fast. It was like a gunfight. It was fast. One bullet, one body on the ground, maybe two. But the point is, it was fast. And in part because the complexity was low. I do believe this is a mathematical kind of model. I think that you could make the following argument in terms of complexity and entropy, that during periods of time when complexity and entropy are low, I think that causality congeals very quickly. But if you think of periods of time and places in the universe where there are lots of things happening and lots of choices being made and lots of causality, because in some ways you could think of the universe as a causality engine. Oh, Dan, you can't call the universe a causality engine. Well, you kind of can do that. The Lord in heaven made it. I didn't. I only broke it. Broke it, Jesus. And let's just say that once again, even though this is the Little Saigon Report and not the Virtual Church of Little Saigon, and even though foul language and terrible ideas are reserved for this report, I should say once again, God bless the baby Jesus and God bless Christmas Day. And yeah, I don't really know that it was today, that these numbers are right, that the precise dates add up. It was thousands of years ago, and there were thousands of terrible people that were born and died between then and now. And some of these people were responsible for transcribing. They kind of fucked up, probably, sometimes. They probably got drunk sometimes. They probably got murdered in their sleep at some monastery. They probably got murdered in a monastery. My hooker armies were defeated. My hooker armies were defeated. My wires are crossed. The nightmare urges direct my soul to an end predestined by the salamander spirit. And kettle chips languish near the sink. And the demons whisper a song of broken glass and chipped beef conflagration. And the mind congeals. Were you of the Slagernthog? Did you wrest from this land a piece of magic ass? Are you lonely? Do you know the darkness of Harong and the ancient oils of Queen Lib? And if you did know all these things, would you continue on your journey or learn to hunt the things you fear? I kept them waiting. Apart from their dark looks and whiskey breath, there was the aura of eternity that surrounded them, like they were there here. They were here when the rocks formed and the earth belched up waters from the ancient hole. And you mock the gods. And now you pay the price. But please, please tell me about your Dorito pizza pie recipe. Tell me how you enjoy being in solitary confinement because you have an electric hooker and a sclerotic mind. Are you going to spend all day playing games, or are you ready for Flavor Country? Are you ready for the raccoons? The raccoon armies form up to the east. The raccoon armies form up to the east. To the west is the slut army of Jenna and her lesbian shock troops, covered in jelly oil and honey wine. And with our group, we have the robot freaks of Ballard and the torpid butt masters of Mercer Island. So raise your sword for Jube. I was the Scrimbliac. That's what she said. I was the one to be feared, but why? Because I carry a gun and a knife and a bottle of whiskey? This is how I am able to rebuild my psyche after years of blue meth and brain parasites. And now I am to be judged by hookahs? This is a commercial from the year 2024. This is a commercial from the year 2024. Activated cockroach juice. Activated cockroach juice. Activated cockroach juice. It's better than goose. It's always on sale for $56.77 a gallon at Scrumbo's. Come to Schlimbo's and Scrumbo's and buy some activated cockroach juice for your kids and wives for Christmas 2024. We will all have activated cockroach juice for dinner. That's going to be really good. Can you wait? Can you wait for Christmas 2024? Has anybody ever asked you to validate them? And I don't mean you work at like some fucking parking lot. Will you validate my parking? But if you like the metaphor, stay with it, fucker. Have you ever had someone say, will you validate me? Oh, so you parked your existential ass here and expect me to validate your spiritual parking card? Shit, Dan, why can't you validate me? Fuck you, man. I only have one parking space in the collective unconscious. I only have one space in the collective unconscious, my friends. I'd love to validate you. But once I put you in that spot, there's no place left for me. So fuck you, man. Why don't you find your own space? You ever wonder what the zoos will look like in this country in a few years? Like, I've been thinking a lot about Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. Like, what will Woodland Park Zoo look like, you know, around the holiday season in 2023? I'm thinking it's going to be a Brazilian steakhouse with limited time only things. For a limited time only, panda fricassee. For a limited time only, panther and tiger roast and a little bear and some really nice spring rolls made from hippo. I think there's going to be a dude at this steakhouse, the Woodland Park Zoo Brazilian Steakhouse, and he's gonna wheel around a little cart that's gonna have all kinds of meats on it. Panther and panda and gorilla and pygmy rhino and hippo, all the meats one can eat. All the meats one can eat at the Woodland Park Zoo for a limited time only. Don't be late. I was expected after the year of blood soup. I was denied following the age of Glim. Who am I, really? Under the rulership of King Voog, we drove the rage muscle from our hangouts in Soho and SoDo and GloDo and turned Seattle into a monkey cave for slingus dingbats and virgin blockheads. And without remorse, you know. If there were competent sorters, people who sorted things, would they leave the ground in this scandalous state? If there were wolf brides, would we walk to the Chevron to buy our gork and our tug fry oil? And if you could, would you shrink down to be small enough to walk on your own skin? To see what's living there? To see what's dying there? On your own fucking skin? Yeah, would you? So here's the deal. You remember that thing about Dr. Jill Biden? Dr. Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden. We have to say that over and over again. It's a lot like that episode of The Twilight Zone where you have to tell the little ginger kid, "Oh, it's so great what you just did by sending those people to the cornfield." We have to say Dr. Jill Biden. But say it 10 times in a row as I get more nectar of the planet. Yeah, so we're back. We're back and we're live. We're live from Budokai. Yep. Drinking the ancient oils and greases of the world. Yum, yum, yum. Indeed. The Sergeant at Arms for the first State of Union address of the new administration. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, all genders, please stand for Dr. Jill Biden's husband. If you could see inside of Dr. Jill Biden's husband's skull, would you see a big empty space with a tiny light flashing on an old rusty sign that says space available? You know, at the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal, the wife of Dr. Jill Biden's husband, she would have been very angry, wouldn't she? It'd be like the prosecutor, "Mr. Mangala, did you?" And be like, "Dr. Mangala, excuse me, you fuck. I know you're gonna hang me, but that's Dr. Mangala. I didn't spend 12 years torturing people to be called Mr. You fuck." That's totally based. If you were to write by accident, January 1st, 1912, if by accident you wrote on your check thingy, whatever, you accidentally said, not 2021 or 2021 or 20 whatever. My point is, what if on January the 1st you accidentally write the date of the check is 1 January 1912? that trigger some butterfly effect thingy? Would you go back before the Federal Reserve was created? Before the income tax? Would you kill the fuckers that created the Federal Reserve? Would you murder them before they murdered us? It's kind of like the kill Hitler thing. What if putting 1912 on your check has a butterfly effect thingy crapola? And you get sent back to 1912 and you run into the fucking wretched creatures from Jekyll's Island. And you were able to find them someplace meeting for a drink after they murdered the hookers. Because you know wretched pieces of shit like that, they spent half their time murdering hookers back then, okay? If you could find those motherfuckers, if you could take them out, what would be the last 100 years? If you could have done that, man, but no, 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 no. I don't want to talk about the wars because they're too depressing. I don't want to talk about Microsoft because that's too depressing. Oh my God, no, I'm not going to talk about that. Oh yeah, so you know, remember that article about the dog that could sniff you for COVID? Oh, Dan, there's no article from France about dogs sniffing armpits for COVID. Oh, you go and Google or whatever, DuckDuckGo, or whatever mindfuck bullshit search engine on the Death Star you want to use. But just put into your wretched Death Star search engine, France, dogs, COVID, armpits. You'll find it. But yeah, you remember that fucking article I was talking about? The one about dogs sniffing your armpits for the COVID? So imagine going through TSA in the year 2025. You're going to go on your first big trip with your new boyfriend. You really love him. You've been saving yourself for him since that last guy you dated 2 weeks ago. The guy, the male TSA agent, looks at you and then he gets on his knees and starts sniffing your crotch. And you say, "Why are you sniffing my crotch?" "I'm sniffing your crotch, baby, because I'm checking for COVID." Did the Velveteen Rabbit make you cry? If I told you I cared, now that would be a fucking lie.
The Velveteen Rabbit made me cry.
I gotta say, there are a lot of fucking really wretched children's stories about stuffed animals that come to life. And I know, Dan, that's the imagination playground. Listen, listen. Take a deep breath. I'm an old crotchety hobo that lives someplace where life is no longer what it should be. I have a terrible distemper. I am filled with glump. Most of my insides have been replaced by sawdust by my primary care physician. And where my heart should be, there's an old chunk of rusty rebar and concrete. So yeah, you know what? Take this with a grain of asbestos. There are a lot of children's stories about wishing a stuffed animal will come to life. You know, "Would you come alive, Mr. Friggles, and talk to me?" And yet, when you think about it, if you ask Mr. Friggles to come talk to you, that is a little bit like summoning a demon.
"Oh, but Dan, you have to play heavy metal music."
No. Actually, I would contend that heavy metal music probably doesn't work. If anything, most demons like classical or jazz. Because Lucifer, despite being horribly evil and corrupt, you know, he does have some class. Yeah, I'm joking. Lucifer is a crap head. But anyways, I guess when I was really young, I probably had this dolphin fucking doll I got. It must have been 75 or 4. I was 4 or 5 years old, and I went to the fucking carnival or fucking fair, fucking whatever, and, you know, won a fucking toxic, asbestos-filled, fucking terrible, fucking shitty dolphin, and yeah, I guess I called it maybe Mr. Kriggles or Mr. Grimph. But at some point, Mr. Kriggles, he didn't say good things, he said bad things. He said, "I wonder what's inside the cats, the neighbor's cat." Like, what's inside the neighbor's cat? Mr. Griggles, I can't do that.
What's inside the neighbor's cat?
Mr. Griggles, I can't do that. I can't do that, Mr. Griggles. I can't do that, Mr. Griggles, is what you gotta say. But I do. I think these stories, they creep me out. I'm just gonna say it. They do. They creep me out. And it's not rational. I'm not calling for censorship, nor do I believe this is salvation critical unless you take your stuffed animal and start worshiping it, okay? If a kid has some weird obsession about their own stuffed animal being alive, that's probably normal imagination work. However, if they're 25 years old and Mr. Griggles is telling them, you know, how much crack they need, or talking about that hooker and saying the same thing,
"What does she look like inside?"
Yeah, then I think it's a problem. You know what I mean? Then I think it's a problem. If you're listening to Mr. Griggles like Son of Sam, "Sam the dog, Sam I am, I'm going to tell you to kill for Sam." You know, if you're listening to a dog next door or to a stuffed animal that's telling you to do terrible things and you still have a little bit of humanity left in you, stop. Go find a holy man or a holy place. And I'm sorry, if you live in New York, you're probably going to have to walk 3,000 miles. And if you live in California, you'll never make it. But you might. But kids, yeah, I guess they like that. And I had maybe a year, maybe a couple years where I was into that too. It's just, you know, I would do a lot of what I would call escapism. Like, man, was I in my head as a kid. But I knew that I was there, you know? I knew that it wasn't real. And I knew that I was there because it wasn't real. And because at the time, and it's not uncommon, lots of kids have their own fucking stuff, I had my reasons. But it is creepy to imbue an object with a spirit, especially if you're a Christian. Because as an adult, if you start doing that, and I've seen adults in this wretched COVID year of the COVID, I've seen adults imbue things, inanimate things, with a kind of spirit that's creepy. And that's not good. That's not good. That probably is a salvation critical thing. All right? If you're 5 years old and you have a stuffed animal named Mr. Griggles and you guys have tea parties, that's okay. Especially if it's a doll and you have tea parties, that's fine, right? If you're an adult and you're imbuing inanimate objects with some type of spirit, then I think you're in trouble. And it's not just the trouble of your soul. Of course, that's going to be a problem. But it's the trouble of living in this world, okay? It's bad enough that there are actual people, really shitty people, ruining the world right now because they have the power to do it. That's bad enough. But it's worse when you actually imbue things. I don't care if it's technology. I don't care if it's science. My God, what the fuck does that mean? I believe in science. You know what? I believe in a lot of things, okay? Some of them are things worth believing in. Some of them are simply questions of truth. I believe, for example, every living human has to poop. I believe that's a true statement. I have not met a human yet that didn't have to poop unless they were, you know, in a state called dead. And then there is the last poop. I believe that's true, but it's not really an interesting truth. You know, I believe the sun will rise tomorrow. It'll rise in the east and it'll set in the west, right? I believe that's true, that the sun will rise tomorrow, but it's not that interesting a truth. I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth as a human being, as a man, but still God. And I believe in his life, he formed a cadre of brave humans. They were not perfect. They screwed up a lot. And he gave to them the word of God because he was also God. And then he took all the sins of all time, past, present, future, and he put them on his own shoulders and he carried them into the other world. And he spent a few days in a cave, right? 3 days in a cave, basically. 2 days. And he was tempted and he was taunted, but he was a man, but he was also God. And when he left us finally, after rising from the dead, when he finally ascended into heaven, he left us with the Holy Spirit. I believe these things are true. I don't have all the details. I don't know exactly if the amount of time between the crucifixion and the resurrection was exactly 2 days or 3 days. I don't know for certain. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't even know if it, you know, and when I say I don't know for certain, it's not just a question of what it says in the Bible, if we can get that one out of the way. The Bible is inspired by God. The Bible was written by people. Inspired by God, but written by people. You kind of have to keep that in perspective. You know? So I believe some things that are pretty crazy to a lot of people. But I also think it's crazy to say I believe in science, because it's sort of like saying, oh, I've said this yesterday, I'll say it again. It's kind of like saying I believe in toothbrushes, or I believe in hammers, I believe in Bitcoin. You do? Bitcoin's a tool, dude. Bitcoin's a tool, don't be one. If it works, I'll use it. If I can't use it and it don't work, guess what? It is fucking irrelevant to me. That is where I am with stuff like that. I believe Bitcoin exists. I also believe that if it works and I'm able to use it, I will. And I'm also a late adopter. And if you don't know what late adopters are, they are the people who try to make sure the planet doesn't explode. Okay? Some of us are a little bit more risk averse. And yeah, because of that, we don't often get the big payouts. But sometimes the big payouts are explosions, you know, dumbasses. So we avoid those too. We avoid those also. I think a lot of people, adults specifically, are imbuing things with spirits. And I would even say social media is a good example of this because it's so deceptive. There are so many accounts on social media that are fake. It's not even funny. And many of them are quite good at being fake. And people will interact with these accounts and treat them as if they're people. But in all likelihood, because I have a little bit of a background in this field, they're fake. And let's just get past the Turing test. The Turing test, as constructed by Alan Turing, is not a very good test. I'm sorry. Being able to text is like one thing a human can do. It's not everything we do. And when it comes to communication, and oh man, in the Masstopia, I hope we're learning this. When it comes to communication, some of that is in the language. A lot of that is in the fucking context. Hence, context-sensitive grammars, motherfuckers. Computer languages are context-free. They should be. They ought to be. If you're designing a context-sensitive computer language, you're a fuckhead. Okay? But human language is context-sensitive. The same string of terms can mean something different based upon when and how it's used. And how that's interpreted has to do with intonation and facial expression and stance. It is not trivial. The Turing test boils down human intelligence to being able to send text messages. I don't think that was on purpose. I mean, I think at the time, Alan Turing was kind of a, well, he was a pioneer and more or less a creator of a new science, if you want to call it that, computer science. So I'm not blaming Alan Turing for having a lack of vision, but it's a little weird because he wants to be scientific about it, right? He wants to make sure you can't see that it's a robot. But ideally, the perfect test would involve all the features of communication, not just talking over a fucking typewriter. Well, if you can talk to a robot over a telescreen and you can't tell the difference between the... You know what, dude? There are people who can tell the difference between fake accounts and real accounts on Twitter, and there are people who can't. There are people who get grifted, okay? There are people who get conned. I have been grifted, okay? It's possible, and it sucks when it happens. When you realize you've been conned, it feels like shit. But Turing's test is based upon a lot of assumptions that don't really operate in the real world, including the fact that one of the reasons why human communication is multidimensional is because humans lie, dumbass. You ever play poker, you fuck Turing? Imagine poker in the context of Alan Turing. It's kind of stupid when you think about it. Because from Turing's perspective, computer poker is the same as real poker. But actual poker players know this is total fucking bullshit. Yeah. In some sense of programming around the odds of a series of outcomes, yes, it can be more or less the same. As if, you know, as if Velveeta is the same as some properly, you know, constructed cheese from the south of France. Yeah, I suppose. It's like Alan Greenspan, hamburger steak, texting is like seeing, and yeah, online poker is like real poker, but it's not. Real poker involves many dimensions of communication. In fact, that's probably one of the reasons why actual poker players kind of hate the sort of electronic poker, because it's not poker, it's just a slot machine. Okay, it's just a video game. Actual poker involves emotion, and emotions, in many cases, give us away. Not all. Some people are like Bill Gates and Ted Bundy. They can pretend to be people and seem nice as I've met people like this. Believe me, they exist. Ted Bundy, Bill Gates, Kamala Harris. How did I connect the Velveteen Rabbit to the Turing test? Here's how. Humans, to their benefit and their detriment, have an extraordinarily powerful imagination. We do. We can imagine a lot of very amazing, interesting things. However, sometimes that works against us. Sometimes we can imagine things that are so real that we make them real, but they're not. They're just in our heads. And this is something that can happen. It happens to people. In fact, it could be one of the sources of madness, the inability to distinguish the difference between things that are really just in your head and things that are in the world. That could be one definition of crazy. I kind of think it's not a complete definition, but it's a good partial definition of many kinds of madness. Many times, many kinds of crazy. I've suffered from that crazy where I don't distinguish between whatever terrible thoughts I have in my head and, you know, the way things actually are. Though 2020, as level-headed as I've tried to be, reality has trumped me so many times and become crazier. So that's its own special little thing. But, yeah. We humans have incredible imaginations. We humans can imbue inanimate objects with all kinds of spirits. Alan Turing believed that, well, if we could just isolate, you know, human textual conversation, then that can be the test. But that's a really incomplete test. It is. The best thing you could say about passing the Turing test is that maybe you're a person. That's it. Just like the fucking Twitter accounts that sometimes seem like there's a real person there. Maybe that's a person. And I don't really give a fuck enough to find out because I don't have any stakes in it. I don't know this fuckhead. They pop up out of nowhere. I get shadow banned everywhere, but I do get a lot of fucking trolls. Isn't that interesting? Especially when I talk about Jesus or Bitcoin or outer space. I get lots of trolls. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Human intelligence and existence and consciousness is more than just a stuffed doll or a text conversation. I'm sorry. But we also are being forced into this alienated existence, and we are grasping after anything. Okay? Loneliness is kind of like a slow death. Even for hermits, even for people like me, I didn't want the world to become like this. I didn't. Okay? I didn't want the world to become a kind of sarcophagus, you know? A horrid kind of tomb. It's not what it was supposed to be. I'm a hermit, but I didn't want the human race to just sort of disengage. But it happened, and it's still happening. And when I see people in the streets and half their face is covered up, I don't have the ability to tell if they are smiling, if they're happy, if they're sad. If they say something to me, I have no way of determining for certain the meaning because a whole bunch of fucking context is missing. A whole bunch of communication is muffled and masked and covered over. Okay? This means that the people that despise the Faucis and the Bill Gateses and all the fucking presidents and senators, it means their scorn is hidden from them. That's on purpose. They don't want us talking to each other. They don't want us planning shit. They don't want the construction workers out of work. Listen, it's not accidental that truckers and the construction workers are working, folks. It's not accidental that a lot of the lower-level banker people still have jobs. It's not accidental that a lot of the fucking deep state militaristic freaks are still getting paychecks. That's not accidental. But that only works for so long. At some point, the people that actually have to grow food and, you know, do the work of getting things done, they have to do those things or there's no more food. I don't know when that happens, folks, but I don't believe in perpetual motion machines, so we'll see. But I believe in science, Dan. I believe in science. I believe in science. I have a robot doll. I have made-up accounts on Twitter that I believe are my friends. I don't need anything, Dan. Maybe not. Maybe that's the real story of the Velveteen Rabbit. Anyways, I was going to like try to burst through a bunch of podcasts all at once, but I think that was ill-conceived. I will close this one out with the following thought. If you're traveling through the regions west of Ballard, if you find yourself on an island someplace in the Puget Sound, if you find yourself alone on an island in the Puget Sound someplace, and you're wondering to yourself in your heart, how am I going to live? How am I going to survive without my Dorito pizza? And then a little basketball washes up on shore. And you take a piece of charcoal and draw a smiley face and eyes on it. Then you attach it to a stick and give it arms and legs. Then you use some seaweed to give it some hair. Even down there, It's not real. It's not your wife. It's not your girlfriend. It's a basketball. It's driftwood. It's seaweed. Merry Christmas.